Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. I'll begin at verse 38. And I invite you to listen for an authentic response. Authenticity, that's what I want us to listen for as we hear God's word. So where is the authentic response? Where is the authenticity in this scripture? So hear now God's word from Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 38. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. They like to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say very long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples, and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had to live on. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. In 2009, Kevin and I had the opportunity with a group of other folks to travel to the Holy Land. We had the opportunity to go to Israel and to encounter the places that we read in from Scripture, and to be places that Jesus had been, to walk where Jesus had walked, to sit at the steps of the temple, to see the well where the woman had come to retrieve water. We were able to be present in the midst of that place and experience all of that. Well, from time to time, there were also places that you could go to receive authentic souvenirs. One of those places is called the Nissan Brothers, and it's located in Bethlehem. In the heart of Bethlehem are these Christians who live there and who take the olive wood in Israel and in Palestine, and they carve it into beautiful hand-carved items. Crosses, pictures of a replication of Jesus. I have one that's a man that is sitting at kneeling, and Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. There are any number of these carvings, and at the Nissan Brothers store, they assure you that they are authentic. They're real. They're the true, genuine olive wood. You, in fact, can see someone that is there hand carving, crafting these items, and you can look at them and you can see that they are real and are done with great and tender care. So imagine that our group has been to the Nissan Brothers store, and we've seen all of this handiwork, and we've made some purchases, and then we're walking back to get on the tour bus because it's time to go and visit the next place. And a street vendor comes up to us, assuring us that what he has to offer is authentic and real. Well, it looks exactly like what we were just looking at inside of the Nissan Brothers store. And yet the price is radically different. But it looked so much the same that one of the heart surgeons, one of the cardiologists with us on the trip, decided that he was going to buy one. And he didn't have the proper change in his pocket. And so he had the street vendor to follow him to the bus. So he has to get up on the bus and get the proper change. And he goes back and he takes him this $10 bill. And he brings the hand carving back onto the bus, and, you know, Doug is showing it to everybody, and we're all just kind of oohing and aahing and can't believe that he's made this purchase after we've just been in the Nissan Brothers store. And Doug insists to us that it's real. This is real. So we begin to pass it around. And friends, as it got passed around and it got flipped over, on the bottom of it was a little sticker. A little sticker that did not say made in Bethlehem. It was not authentic. It looked exactly like the items that had been purchased by others in our group inside the Nissan Brothers stores, but it was not the real thing. Likely it was not crafted from real olive wood. In our passage of scripture today, Jesus is addressing authenticity. To be authentic, to be have authenticity means that you are genuine. It is real. It is true. And so Jesus is talking at first about the scribes. The scribes who wore their long robes. And you remember over and over again in scripture, Jesus kind of picks on the scribes and the Pharisees, these religious leaders in Jesus's time. Jesus kind of calls them out all the time for their behavior. And so in these particular words from Jesus, he's saying he's calling out their dress and the way that they sort of parade themselves around as if they're the most knowledgeable and the most well learned, and they're the ones perhaps that have the deepest faith. They expect to be respected. And so the scribes walk around expecting that everybody greet them with the proper greeting. Perhaps they expect someone to bow to them, to let them know that they are so delighted to be in their presence. These scribes, they expect to have the best seat at the banquet, the very best seat at the dinner party. They have to be at the head table. They have to be front and center. And these scribes are characterized by Jesus as saying some really long prayers. Because perhaps they need to add in every single word and every single verbiage and every single part of scripture, the Hebrew Bible that they've, you know, committed to their memory. They need to get it all out in their very long and lengthy prayers so that the people around them will think, well, that person is so deep. They're so close to God. The other thing that Jesus says about these scribes is that they devour the widows' homes. So they show zero concern for the widows, the orphans, the poor. These are the scribes, the very religious people, the ones who pray the long prayers and perhaps have memorized all that they need to memorize, and yet they have little compassion, little kindness, little love. Somehow this public image that they begin to take on doesn't quite match who they call themselves to be. A religious leader who expects to be at the head table, a religious leader who has no care for the poor, a religious leader who uses glorified language in order to make people think that they are smarter and more close to Jesus, or close to God. Somehow their image doesn't reflect who they say they are. Something in their attitude is not authentic. It's inauthentic, in fact. The desire to be noticed for your clothing, the desire to show off all that you know, the desire to be the first, the only, the best, and then to show no concern at all for the widows. Over and over in the Old Testament, we read of God calling God's people to care for the least among them. I'm teaching Disciple 3 this year, and right now we're studying the prophets. And one of the things that we read from the prophets over and over and over again, that the prophets are being used by God to call God's people to realize they're not caring for the poor. And in particular, to call God's people to realize that they are not caring for the widows. So in Jesus' time, in a Palestinian society, the widows whose spouse have died are simply seen as possessions. They're seen as the least of these. They don't have any sort of place in society, and they rely on others around them to help to care for them. So here we read of the scribes, the religious leaders, who know full well what God has instructed them to do. And these religious leaders have encountered the words of the prophets, and they know full well that the prophets had said to them, "You will be punished, God's people, for not caring for the widows. You will be punished, God's people, for not caring for the poor." They know this, and yet Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Mark that these religious leaders are devouring the homes of the widows. Something doesn't match. Something doesn't seem exactly right. And so who is it that you think that Jesus, who is it that Jesus is going to use to help demonstrate to us a proper, authentic response to God? Jesus uses a widow. Jesus then goes on to tell us the story about he's sitting at the treasury and he's watching all of the people come to the treasury to make their offerings. And those religious leaders, those religious people are coming in with their large sums. And they're dropping in large sums into the treasury. And I can imagine perhaps that what Jesus is witnessing is some people sort of strutting in and out of the treasury, making sure that others around them are seeing them and that they're being noticed. And then in comes the widow. In comes the widow and approaches the treasury. I can imagine it took courage to even come into the space. You know, when everybody's around you's all puffed up and you're beaten down, it takes courage. It takes courage to come with two small copper coins that Jesus describes as less than a penny. As two small copper coins. I imagine you come in with your head bent down, hoping with all of your might that no one is going to see you, no one is going to pay attention to you, and all you want to do is just get to the treasury to drop in your money. Jesus lifts this woman up, this widow up. Jesus says that her response is an authentic response. Jesus says that she has given out of her poverty, and all the others have given out of their abundance. The others have given out of their abundance, and she has given out of her poverty all that she has to live on. Let's contrast the religious people and the widow for a minute. Religious people, like we've said, are wearing their expensive clothes. They're well-educated. They're entitled, or so they think. And they show off their wealth. And then we have the widow. The widow who perhaps is wearing some secondhand clothes. She's received a lot of challenges in her life, and those challenges have prevented her from reaching her success, from reaching the top. She's trying her best to hide, to go unnoticed, to stay under the radar. Perhaps for fear that those religious people are just waiting to devour her home as well. And there she brings into the treasury those two small copper coins, that very insignificant amount of money. And Jesus says to us, her response is authentic. Her response is authentic because she has given out of her poverty. Friends, if we've ever experienced poverty, When you are a person who is in poverty, you are in need. You are in need. And so to say that this woman has given out of her poverty is pointing to the fact that she absolutely, positively needs to have a relationship with God in her life. Alone, she can do nothing. But her authentic response comes from the fact that she has at the center of her life a deep and utter dependence upon God. And Jesus, friends, is contrasting for us that and the religious people who give and give and give and flaunt and flaunt and flaunt out of their abundance. And somehow think that God is going to continue to bless them even though they're not deeply dependent upon God. Oh, sure, they cry out in long prayers to God when they need God the most. When they've got their wish list of things that they want to happen. Or when they're at the bottom of their moments. But the other times in life, those religious people are living out of an abundance where they have no regard for other people and they have no need for God in their lives. The widow is the one who makes the authentic response. She gave out of her poverty all that she had to live on. She gave out of her poverty because she had a deep dependence upon God. Authenticity. It makes me wonder about us. Us religious people. You know, we come to church. We worship and praise God. We go to Sunday school. We participate in small groups. And we go about our lives. And are all the responses in our lives because we have a deep dependence upon God? Or are we lifting ourselves up? Are we trying to show ourselves off to the world? Do our actions match the words that we say about others? Do we claim to be the people they'll know we are Christians by our love? And then we spew hate from our mouths? When we give to God, are we doing it out of an obligation to let everybody around us see that we've done that and we've checked it off of our list? Or are we giving because we have such a deep dependence upon God that we truly want to give because we want to honor and glorify God with all that we are and all that we have? Do we want people to notice us? Do we want to be patted on the back for the good deeds that we've done? Or do we want people to notice the Christ who calls us to be the hands and feet? Are we committed? Are we committed like the prophet Micah says to us? When the prophet Micah asks, what kind of offering do I give God? Do I give this large sum of money? Do I give all my talents? Do I give a burnt offering? Is that what's going to make God pleased? Or do I offer to God to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God? Friends, when we get back in our cars today, after we've encountered the living God here in this place, are we going to look deep at ourselves and is there going to be a sticker somewhere on us? A sticker somewhere on us that needs to be removed because somehow our authenticity has faded away? Instead of having made in the image of God, we're living out of made in the image of ourselves. Is that the sticker that our life embodies? What shall I come before God with? What has God required of you, O mortal? What has God required of you, Myers Memorial? An authentic response that does justice, that loves kindness, and that walks humbly with your God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.